The bolts were drawn back. Two loud bangs echoed through the room. The door to the tiny shrine was pushed open, letting in lamplight from the hall outside. It was a small room with a high arched ceiling. A silver key hung from a thread attached to the highest point of the ceiling. The wind caused by the opening of the door made the key swing back and forth and then spin slowly, first one way and then the other. The abbot held Brother Philigenus's arm, and the two men walked into the shrine side by side. Then the abbot let go of the brother's arm and said, "Take the body, Brother Philigenus." But, Father, what is it?" Brother Philigenus went down on one knee. The abbot could hear fingers against cloth and skin. "He's not dead." The abbot sighed. It was an evil thing to think, he knew, but he honestly felt it was so much kinder if they died outright. This was so much worse. "One of those, hey?" he said. "Ah, well, we will look after the poor creature until it passes on to its ultimate reward. Lead it to the infirmary." And a weak voice said, quietly, but firmly, "I am not a poor creature." The abbot heard someone stand up, heard Brother Philigenus's sharp intake of breath. I think I got through it," said Richard Mayhew's voice, suddenly uncertain. "Unless this is more of the ordeal."
"No, my son," said the abbot. There was something in his voice that might have been awe and might have been regret. There was silence.
I think I will have that cup of tea now, if you don't mind," said Richard.
"Of course," said the abbot. "This way."
Richard stared at the old man. The glaucous eyes gazed out at nothing at all. He seemed pleased that Richard was alive, but...
"Excuse me, sir," said Brother Philigenus respectfully to Richard, breaking his train of thought. "Don't forget your key."
"Oh, yes. Thanks." He had forgotten about the key. He reached out and closed his hand upon the cold silver key, rotating slowly on its thread. He tugged, and the thread snapped easily. Richard opened his hand, and the key stared up at him from his palm.
"By my crooked teeth," asked Richard, remembering, "who am I?"
He put it in his pocket, next to the small quartz bead, and together they left that place. The fog had begun to thin. Hunter was pleased. She was confident now that, should it become necessary, she could get the Lady Dor away from the friars entirely unharmed and get herself away with only minor flesh wounds. There was a flurry of movement on the far side of the bridge.
"Something's happening," said Hunter to Dor, under her breath. "Get ready to make a run for it."
The friars drew back. Richard Mayhew, the upworlder, came towards them through the fog, walking beside the abbot. Richard looked different, somehow. Hunter scrutinized him, trying to work out what had changed. His center of balance had moved lower, become more centered. No, it was more than that. He looked less boyish. He looked as if he had begun to grow up.
"Still alive, then?"
said Hunter. He nodded, put his hand into his pocket, and pulled out a silver key. He tossed it to Dor, who caught it, then flung herself at him, wrapping her arms around him, squeezing him as tightly as she could.
Then Dor let go of Richard and ran to the abbot. "I can't tell you how much this means to us," she said to him. He smiled, weakly but graciously.
"May the temple and the arch be with you all on your journey through the underside," he said.
Dor curtsied, and then, clutching the key tightly in her hand, she went back to Richard and to Hunter. The three travelers walked down the bridge and away. The friars stood on the bridge until they were out of sight, lost in the old fog of the world beneath the world.
"We have lost the key," said the abbot to himself, as much as to any of them. "God help us all."